Good evening. Welcome to the April 10th, 2018 meeting of the City of Black Diamond Planning Commission. Would you please join me in the flag salute?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Clerk. May we have the roll call, please?
Commissioner Lecomte?
Present.
Commissioner Sepp?
Present.
Commissioner Ecker?
Here.
Commissioner McCain?
Here.
Commissioner Amber?
At the dais.
And Commissioner Olson?
Present.
Great. Thank you, Kathy. So just to let everybody know, the Planning Commission is a 7-member volunteer body appointed by the mayor and confirmed by the City Council. The Commission meets on the next Tuesday following the first council meeting of each month. The Planning Commission's role is to promote and coordinate comprehensive long-range planning, growth management, transportation, and environmental protection. The Planning Commission serves in an advisory role to the City Council and makes decisions in the form of recommendations to the City Council for its consideration, whether a recommendation to approve or deny. There will be two opportunities for public comment regarding any issue not on this evening's agenda. The first opportunity will follow the approval of the minutes, and the second will be at the end of the meeting. So, Commissioners, you have before you the minutes of the March meeting. If you wouldn't mind doing a quick overview, and we could either discuss and or I would entertain a motion to accept and approve.
I'll make a motion to accept and approve the regular meeting minutes for March 6th.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to accept the March minutes. Any discussion? We'll take a vote. All in favor? Aye. Opposed? None. The motion carries. Thank you, Commissioners. So are you ready, Mr. Williamson or Barb? Are you ready now? Or would you like us to move the agenda?
We can stay with the current agenda that we have. We're able to get it all put together. Thank you for your patience.
Excellent. You didn't want to move the staff comments ahead of the comp plan?
No, I think Andy? Comp okay. Plan is kind of the meat of why we're here. And, I don't think it'll be a long meeting tonight. I think this is a, here it is. Now we got to go all read it. So that'll be a good part. So.
Great. Thank you. Ms. Kincaid.
Good evening, Planning Commissioners. I am wondering if you received the packet material. I had a memo with some maps. Did you all receive that?
Yeah.
Okay. Very good. So this is your first beginning of your formal review of the comp plan draft. You had several meetings as work sessions with the council, joint work sessions with the council. And before you leave, I'm going to hand out all of those chapters that you went through. Are all now compiled in a document for you to read over the next month for our next month's discussion. So, so the assignment here is what I'm giving you is the policy part. If you recall, we had we have various appendix, and the appendix housed all of the, you know, the supporting data and things like that. I would like for you to just focus and take home and think about as you read through this over the next month and make notes. If the policies through all the different, you know, chapters, the land use, the transportation, the utilities, you're looking for consistency. Are there things that jump out that, first of all, you think like, well, In this transportation policy, we said this, but that doesn't really match what we've said over here in this chapter. So that's your assignment. And before we leave, we'll send you home with those. For tonight's meeting, though, the one thing that we didn't really touch on is the map. So comp plan is a text document with the, you know, text document that are policy statements, goals and policies, and they are accompanied by a land use map. And that land use map, I sent you a little version of this. This is the adopted land use map. We are not, so as you go through in all of these policy statements, what you end up with is creating a land use map that you use to do your zoning. And so we didn't in this update do a lot of drastic policy changes. We tried to do cleanup. We looked at whether or not there were new trends that we needed to address. We wanted to make sure that we were compliant with any state changes, things like that. And so at the end, we didn't see that we needed to make a lot of changes on the map. However, there are these 410-18 proposed changes. There's a few little isolated pieces of land that that I'd like to talk to you about changing the land use designation on those. One of them is part of an ongoing discussion that the citizen, the landowner, has had. Another one, the others are all from over the last couple of years getting citizen input. So these changes have been proposed over the course of 2 years, like, gee, I think this makes more sense for the land to be designated like this. And we pulled all that input from the public that we received, and we reviewed it, and we came up with some recommendations based on that. So how impossible is it for you to read the maps that are in your packets?
No, fine.
Is it okay? Okay, good.
I have a question on
yes.
That. I don't see in the legend, I guess I just did see it. So all the stripe, all the ones with the diagonal stripes, those are the master plan development overlay.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
All right. Never mind.
That's right. And so, you know, to begin with, we noticed that the adopted land use map had designation for park and designation for the mixed use. So park is kind of the light green, mixed use is kind of the purple areas. We are recommending that those designations be removed from the map. The park and school, both of those really are covered under the public land use designation. And I'm not exactly sure why the map was done this way. It typically isn't. You know, you've got public lands, and those public lands cover schools and parks and libraries. And so it's a lot cleaner just to not have that. Otherwise, you'd be designating libraries and, you know, that sort of thing. And it's not necessary because this is a general designation for how you want to zone properties. So if you're designating public, then you see in the text, in the land use text, that public, the uses allowed in public are libraries, are parks, then it's, you know, it's just not necessary. So that's my first recommendation for you to consider. Anybody want to, yeah?
Okay, so you're saying instead of the three colors for school, park, and public, I can't really distinguish between school and public, but you want to combine those three designations into one.
Right. You would just have a public land use designation.
Is it any significance for future use on if it's designated as, say, a school or a park, that now that it gets lumped into public, that it can be no longer a park, it can be a shed for the maintenance department?
Well, yes, that's true. That's true. So you, if you're saying if it's a public land and the uses, allowed uses in public land are, in fact, let's go to our chapter 5. Why don't I hand these out now and we can just go over those uses in the public lands? And, of course, it's going to have to do with who owns it and what they want to do with it. Document, which starts on page 48, yep, and we're just going to go and read what the definition and uses in public lands are. It's going to be quoted towards the end of the, after the commercial. On page 62. Mm-hmm. So it talks about that it's properties that are owned under public ownership. That's one of the, so everything that's going to be on the map as public is going to be under public ownership, whether it be state, local, you know, public, fire department, that sort of thing. If they're using it for that use or they're intended to use it for that use, it's going to include the watershed. And then you see the policies. It's a very, well, I guess what I'm trying to say, it's really broad. I mean, really what it just says is, if the land is owned by a public entity and it's either used or intended to be used for public use, then it's public, which to me says school, park, library, etc. And that's why I'm recommending that.
Well, it says on policy 52, public buildings and spaces should fulfill their role as gathering areas and community resources.
Mm-hmm.
Did any of the prior drafts have verbiage in it that defined what a school or a park was?
I don't believe so. Would that be helpful?
No. I was just wondering if at some point, because everything it looks like that's listed here is defined in here, but school and park is not defined in here. So I was just wondering if it ever had been and they just took it out of something.
No, it hadn't. Uh-uh. I mean, maybe we want to. Oh, thank you. There's extra copies of this document if you're by. So maybe we want to expand this text section. So then we have more clarity that the public lands designation just needs to have more. More definition to it. Is that maybe what's lacking?
Well, but does that, I mean, it says here it's limiting it to elementary schools, because that's the only type of school that's listed. Up at 513, at the under public,
mm-hmm.
The third line, it says or elementary
schools. I think, that came out through our workshops, but I really think we should strike the word elementary. Well, I think we should say public schools, basically.
The proposed plan is to have all three types of schools, isn't it?
Yeah. So I would suggest that we strike the word elementary there for sure.
I would think so.
Mm-hmm.
I know that the current elementary school is on essentially loaned land.
I think part of the ball fields are, but they, the Eden Claw School District, I'm quite certain, owns the property that the building's on.
I've always been under the impression that it was donated.
Ball field.
There's a reversal condition on that property.
As long as it's a school.
As long as it's a school, it remains a school or the school's using of that property. If it reverses from being that, it reverts back to the original ownership.
So that it's, but it's not public. I mean, Palmer Coking still owns that lot.
No.
No, it's been.
No. It is owned as a school. If the school gives up operating as a school, it would then revert back to its original ownership.
Think of it as sort of a first option.
Right. I understand it. But I guess if so, the Eden Claw School District is on the deed of trust.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And are there any other lands? I know. Or at least my impression is that land in the annexed areas are going to be available for the school district to purchase, but they don't own any of that land right now.
The elementary site on preliminary plat 1A, which is 12 acres, has been conveyed to the school district. They have accepted that. So there are sites, and as those sites become available, the district has so many days to perform a due diligence on those. They have accepted the site that is in the area of PP1A, which is known as, used to be known as the Villages, now it's 10 Trails. They have accepted that 12 acres there, yes.
Okay, so that is essentially public property.
The school district dictates what happens on that
right,
piece of property, so then I would guess, yes, that would be public.
What's their names on the deed, which doesn't sound like if that's the case
yet.
I'm not
sure if it's on the deed or it's been conveyed to them. There's different mechanisms that you can do in land use to have rights and operationals of those properties, but everything we do on that 12 acres, we need to get the school district's permission.
Right, right.
So, essentially, yes, I think we could mark that as public.
So that would be a suggestion if not now, that one of the things that you want to do is annually take a look at this stuff and annually make amendments to the text document or the map. So we would want to make a note that if that PP1A 12-acre piece of property is not yet actually conveyed to a public entity, then there would be no need to change the map if it is or when it is. Then we would want to change the underlying zoning under that MPD overlay to public.
Well, see, I think we should probably stick with these three separate categories then, because they're going to be treated differently. I mean, a school category has got restrictions on it. It has to stay a school. It's not really public. I mean, you can't put a maintenance shed on it or a park.
Why couldn't you?
Because then the Eden Claw School District would lose the elementary school.
Well,
so there is always part of the master plan development to have co-joined facilities with the school district, the parks, so that you could stretch your dollars. The school districts have so many dollars for playground equipment, and the city might have so many dollars or open spaces that you could combine those uses so that their school activity play areas become sort of park, have the rights of park, and then the park has, the school can then use that for their activity. So it's always been planned that they would be co-joined facilities as much as possible.
Yes, and outside of that, you know, sort of unique situation, it makes good sense for grant funding for coordinated, you know, a lot of times you may want to try to, city may try to want to work with the school or something to have a coordinated playground that maybe when the school isn't using it, that it becomes, so you want to broaden it rather than limit it, because it does benefit those public agencies that are providing the public service. And they may be eligible for a certain kind of a grant, you know, if it's just, it's actually better to open that up for this kind of coordinated, shared use, if it makes sense, between public agencies.
Mm-hmm. And then the city built a park that is for all, it's like a handicapped accessibility kind of park, that kind of thing. And without the proper zoning designations, that we wouldn't have. I think that the broader designation of public actually can help as the hinder these types of kind of joint projects. Mm-hmm.
That's a good example. Thank you.
Okay. Well, my concern, and it may be unfounded, is that if it's designated a park, but it's public property, that if the city, say, 20 years down the road needs a space to put a city building to do something, that well, here's this park, and you know, nobody's really using it that much, and it's public property, so let's
That happens all the time, not in our city, but that happens in other cities. Other cities will find that certain parks don't have the public necessity, and they'll actually sell those, unfortunately, off to developers and develop things. It's always within the purview and the power of the city council to determine whether that is. It, depending on how we got the park, for example, like the Lake Sawyer regional park, there's a lot of conditions that are put on mm-hmm. that. Active adult entertainment. Sports and those kind of things. So yeah, not adult entertainment, not that type. But there are those restrictions on that park that have to be. That's how county got the money to buy it, and when we took the park, we took those conditions on. So I think land use evolves, it changes, things happen, you know. But it does allow the city the flexibility to do what its long range or what it needs to do.
Excuse me one second. I have a question for Commissioner Amber. So, Dave, under this chapter, the 5.13, does policy LU52 help to clarify that use for you? Because it does say public buildings and spaces should fulfill their role as gathering areas and community resources. To me, that would eliminate it being used for a utility or some other kind of a city shop area, because this is sort of redundant to that. That use would be redundant to the gathering uses and community resources. Did you consider that?
Our public maintenance sheds down there at the end of the road are not really gathering places or community resources.
Resource buildings.
Mm-hmm. Nobody would go down there to have a picnic.
Right. Correct.
And I'm concerned that if there's a park, just a little neighborhood park somewhere. That would be convenient to put, and I'm just using a maintenance shed as an example of something.
Good example.
That the city would say, well, let's just absorb this park and put a maintenance shed on it, or or a cell phone tower or something like that.
I think that could happen if it were an underused park, or if it made better economic sense. But remember that another part of this policy document is the level of service for parks. So the city, if it chose to use a little park, because, gee, it would make a lot, you know, it'd be a lot better to put our maintenance shed here and we'd save money and whatever, they, if doing that caused the level of service for the parks to drop, I mean, they would have to find another park location before your elected should, you know, would be entertaining that. Or maybe they might need to be reminded of that. But there's that balance. There's that balance built in.
I think the one thing to keep in mind is, in most cities, most utility departments do activities and or co-resource with parks. Mm-hmm. The enterprise funds, which are water, sewer, and storm, generate the most revenues for any municipality. So should you need to place a small shed for the water department or something on an outlying park, then that department would then pay money to the park system to maybe do something better for that area or somewhere else. So there is the ability. Maplewood Golf Course is really owned, I think, by the water department in the city of Renton, because they have three aquatic wells that they draw the city of Renton's water from on that golf course. But people don't know that. They think of it as the golf course, but it's really the wellheads, right? There's those alternatives that the public zoning lets us have the most flexibility to provide the resources to the public to do parks, but also you might cohabitate or co-locate a shed to keep a mowers in or different things like that. It lets the staff, lets the administration of the city have some flexibility on what you might do with those things to generate the revenues to keep those parks open, because parks don't, unfortunately, don't generate a lot of revenue to afford them and to keep them running.
Okay, so you want to combine all those three and just call them public?
That's my recommendation, and, you know,
it doesn't look like there's anything to combine. It just looks like this is a legend on the map to me.
There are little single parcels that are designated, Yeah, that scale map, sorry. But they are literally just where a school, just single parcels, a couple of them that are.
But with this change that you make on here, there's not a correlating change in the text, is there?
No, there wouldn't be, unless you brought up that maybe we would want to add, well, strike elementary school, educated schools, and then maybe we want to put some more text into this public use to make the intent clearer. I mean, maybe that's what's needed.
I don't know that we need to. I mean, if we're just going to call it public property and it's understood that that is at the discretion of the city council, and then.
Well, see,
we can zone when we get to the zoning map. You know, then we can look at the lands that are designated for public, because that's what's going to happen after we get done with this comp plan. Then we look at our zoning map. So, for example, you know, you may have something that is designated for public use, but then when we look at the zoning map, if you feel that it's appropriate to actually zone the school property, you know, see, that's a finer level that you may want to consider doing in the zoning map, but you really wouldn't do it on your comp plan map.
And I do believe that this is a healthy discussion, and I think we're going to find more elements as we go through this. But this is a really great example, Commissioner Amber, of how we can provide input and how we can build our recommendation to the City Council. So, I think that was a good exercise.
And so, and Oh, no, and so then the other, so that was the one recommendation that I was making, and then the other, there's some property, there's a little piece that I circled, and it's a little blue piece, and it's surrounded, so it's right now it's designated business park, light industrial, and I wish I had a copy of my memo. I can't believe that I didn't. Anyway, so find it. Oh, yeah, where it's located exactly. Yeah. We are talking this one, yeah. Yeah.
So that would be the property on the one corner would be Fats Auto Truck Specialist. Mm-hmm. And there's the big field of 30 acres there that's been owned by the Brody family for a long time. Yes, and it abuts Diamond Square where the concrete tilt-up buildings. So it's been from Diamond Square down to Fats Auto Repair and back there. So that's where it is, abuts Highway 169 there.
Mm-hmm. And that's that light blue that you're talking about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's completely surrounded, at least most of it, by community commercial. And it seems to make good sense to in this update to change it to community commercial. It does adjoin the, and this is actually kind of another thought, is it's adjoining the where the master plan development is for some residential plan. So as far as compatibility, you know, the community commercial uses with the residential uses that are proposed there, we believe would be a better fit.
I see that there's a boat store, and I noticed that you know, see some signs that you've got out there.
Across the road, yes.
Yeah, across the road, that there's probably going to be another public storage.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, I have not heard that. I'm gonna discuss that with you under my comments later on. But yeah, those are essentially across the road, kind of mm-hmm. north here. But they both have a commercial element to them, so that front area that is abuts the highway will have a commercial element. No, absolutely not. They're going to have a storefront, interconnected park, to do other things, and then the storage will be on the back side of them.
So. Yeah, the community commercial. When you're looking at a site plan or a proposal to construct something in community commercial. There are safeguards in the regulations to make sure that it is, we have some design guidelines for that, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
So,
mm-hmm. And to me, that large storage facility doesn't really stay in that.
Yeah.
Right in it. So, but you can design it so that kind of, there's perspective, but not big, huge buildings. And
mm-hmm.
The one has went through a architectural review, internal staff,
mm-hmm.
and it's up for a conditional use permit, which has to go through the hearing examiner, so they'll look at all that too. The second one, we haven't even gone through that process. The sign is there, they've withdrawn, they're doing site plan changes, and so. No, absolutely not. No. So the idea is we'll have a hearing, I believe, on the 19th for the one here, and so we've given our recommendation to hearing examiner. have spent a lot of time with the design and the elements of that building, so that is attractive.
Yeah,
he says you come in. So I think the one thing that, sorry, Barb, the one thing to keep in mind here is this whole corridor is protected by what we call the Gateway Overlay District. Mm-hmm. Jokingly, we call it the God Zone. And it's very particular about how the elements have to be built there and how the sidewalks have to be done, the meandering sidewalks, so you get that. We're incentivizing if you do solar or you do water collection or you reuse your water. There's different elements that you can put onto your commercial buildings. But the idea always was to try to protect that corridor as much as possible and to kind of frame the mountain as you come in, which is kind of what our long-term we try to be as protective as we can within the things to do that.
But then meanwhile, if you turn to page 60 and you look at the intent of the designation for community commercial, this property fits better than it does the kind of designation criteria for the business park and industrial. And so that's why we're recommending it.
And what does the owner of the property think?
So this property was asked to be kept as business park light industrial at one time when this property owner was working with the Nestle Bottling Company. And it's never been changed since that's went away. The property owners do believe it's time to move away from the business park light industrial. And as they've had conversations with staff, and staff was already championing coming forward to you to move it towards the community commercial. So they are absolutely in support of it, that it moves to community commercial. As you read different things, it talks that that area should be community commercial. But at one time, we decided to leave it there so that the opportunity, if we could get those jobs, would be here. But it all went away. But the idea is to move it back to community, and they support that.
It would seem to make sense. It's kind of an odd little island if it's a business park.
And I do appreciate the comments made from Commissioner Seth that we don't want to end up like Maple Valley with the auto wrecking yard look right on our gateway corridor. And isn't there, in the beginning conversations of this, Mr. Williamson, wasn't there... obviously, there's going to be a certain need for services and retail, which generates the revenue for the city to sustain itself long term.
That's always the challenge and the balance as we move forward is to try to keep the residential component in balance with what we get from the retail or businesses or job centers or those type of things. That's every city struggles with that. So that's kind of why the idea if we can get more of that commercial here. Even though the master plan developments build out whatever, we have roughly 11,000 vehicle trips a day on Highway 169 crossing that point right there. I don't think the highway's going away that I know of in all our long-range planning. So I think there's always going to be a need for that commercial component to be along the highway there. And if we can get the passerbys to stop by and spend some of their Enumclaw and Buckley and Bonnie Lake money here, mm-hmm. I think we should... try to do that to help our revenues.
Good. Good discussion.
Yeah. Do we need to do anything with that, make a recommendation, or was this just discussion?
Well, I mean, if you are, you're not actually passing anything, but if you are comfortable with the recommendation, then we'll make that, because we're still at a draft change. I will make that change in the draft map, and we'll take, remember, we're going to take this out and get public input on it too.
I'm comfortable with that.
Mm-hmm. The other is let's see, we've got these.
And I also have no objection to the combining the three things.
Everyone else is okay with that? So then we have a little, let's see, you're better with the directions, this little funny little piece that's in, I gave the parcel numbers, which isn't really, I should have given better description here.
So it is essentially... within the active mining site of Palmer Coke and Coal's gravel operations. There's a parcel there. is marked. It looks like it's, you want to move that to community commercial?
Yeah, mm-hmm. So this was again, input from the property owner,
So that. What it does is it abuts.
Yeah. I can even point it out.
It's this parcel here. It abuts the backside of King County's open space piece of property. And then everything around it is business park, light industrial. It just seems to be a buffer to step it down a little bit.
Okay, so right now it's
low density residential.
Yeah, low density residential.
It's an island that would just sit there.
Island, low density residential that we're recommending be changed because it's just it doesn't seem compatible. The park would be okay, but by the business park and light industrial there. Yeah.
You want to change that to community commercial?
Why wouldn't you just make it business park and light industrial?
Yeah, that would make more sense.
Yeah.
Well, why don't you give us an illustration of what you see as the intended use of that, the major piece to the east, so the commissioners can better understand that.
So I would support that. Well, see, actually, I made a mistake on the change to community commercial to allow for uses that would support the intent. See, I made a typo. Change to business park light industrial. Change to, do you see how I put that on the page? To allow for uses that would support the intent of the campus approach to business. So I apologize. We're recommending LDR or the business park because right now it's low density and it makes sense for it to be part of the business park.
Yeah.
Because I wrote like to support the business park and it's like, so. Yeah, that's what I saw there. It's like, well, it's just an island surrounded by the business park that butts up to the regional, Lake Sawyer Regional, and it makes sense to change that to the blue, to the business park light industrial.
And would you see Commissioner McCain, and if the commissioners would introduce themselves for the benefit of the clerk when you make a point, that would be helpful. Thank you. So do you see that as becoming sort of like a lunchtime small restaurants that would be open in there to serve the people who are at the business park, working at the business park, other services that would serve that demographic mm-hmm. group, or mm-hmm. Are we expanding on that?
Yeah. So we would want to make sure in the business park light industrial, it does make a provision for, let's look at that in our land use text.
Page 2 on the little packet at the bottom.
So 58. Yeah, page 58, your light industrial business park. It's going to encourage manufacturing activities, manufacturing related, that are attractively designed. The general offices, campus-type settings, storage, and then it also allows for limited commercial to support.
Mm-hmm. Retail service activities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yes, Commissioner McCain, it would be sort of, you know, the allowance to have some limited commercial there and retail that's going to be part of this whole campus, business park, light industrial campus.
Copy print, mail it place, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we will have a regional trail,
mm-hmm.
King County regional mm-hmm. trail coming through that area, close to that. So there's an opportunity there also.
Okay. Commissioner Amber, or Mike, Commissioner? Okay, Commissioner Amber, I don't have any objection to changing that to industrial, light industrial.
The light industrial, business park light industrial, yeah.
Is there any other additional discussion that commissioners would like to input at this time? All right.
Can we ask additional questions about that?
Yeah, that's what we.
She's going into protection.
Yeah, no. Then the other is this this purple. This had a mixed use. This like lilac colored, where you have the area where it's the Lawson Hills kind of triangle, and the light, you see that, and then also the other master planned section there that's lavender. This was sort of a remnant from sort of the old comp plan, and so the way the old vision was for the master plan developments is that there would be a designation for mixed use. We're proposing that doesn't make sense because we have a master plan overlay, and we don't really have any other land that we haven't really developed this whole mixed use designation yet. It might be a good time in the future, but for right now, the mixed use is allowed through the MPD overlay, and there are of course regulations for that, so that we're proposing to get rid of that and change the triangle, and we did talk about this in joint session, to change that triangle, the underlying zoning to the community commercial, and then the part that's in the Lawson Hills that would be south of that triangular point would be low density residential, like the other parts of the villages, and then they can, with the MPD, they have the flexibility to change that low density to higher density residential. It's still going to be residential. The underlying community commercial would be community. It would be commercial, but it would allow for that mixed use. So in that area for the villages, and then also that area that was the piece of Lawson Hills, which is now called Feathers.
Ten
Trails. Yes, yeah. Thank you.
But just for the record, all these lands are vested to the old comp plan. So no matter what changes we make going into the future,
good point,
they don't affect their vesting rights of that, as long as that development agreement stays active.
I think what we're trying to do in this recommendation is avoid people coming in and saying, we would like to apply for land use designation change. We would like to make our land mixed use, when we don't have mixed use. We don't have anything in here about mixed use. And until we come back through the Planning Commission and maybe think about what that designation would look like and work on it, it just is going to be awfully confusing for the public to think that there may be a mixed use land use designation that they could apply for their land.
So there's no definition, or never has been a definition for mixed use?
Mm-mm.
Commissioner Amber, is there a definition in the MPD for mixed use?
I think there is. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, so.
And the yes. Mm-hmm.
So they have a vested mixed use designation.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of getting a little confused on your reference points.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking Lawson Hills, but I'm looking at this.
Yeah, so these are both of the spots. So this one is Lawson.
But Lawson Hills.
Yeah, or what's this one called up there then? Yeah. Isn't this the triangle? What do you call the triangle? It's part of Lawson.
So.
Just talking about
yeah. But you keep saying Lawson Hills. Right. And
well, that's what it is.
Cool.
As part of the MPD, each MPD was required to have a fiscal balance, and they had to have a component that went with them that was the commercial entity of that, right? So it didn't have to be contiguous with the MPD. So the northern arrow and the piece that is behind it, one of those is considered what we used to call the villages. The other part is the Lawson to make it meet its commercial components.
Okay.
I guess we could just say part of the MPD and kind of.
Right. So those.
It's changing, yeah.
Right.
So, Commissioner Olson, I have a question. Instead of changing these around, why did you decide to do that versus to take portions of the verbiage of mixed use in the MPD and put it in here? What was the benefit of it to do it this way?
The MPD mixed use planning document, conceptual planning document, and a partner development agreement, it's all written specifically for that development. So it's not just taking that language and putting it as a mixed use designation for citywide. It didn't make sense.
Okay.
Yeah.
Commissioner Amber, now on this, the westernmost area that you're looking at changing.
Mm-hmm.
With the
on either side of the Auburn Black Diamond Road,
right? Two-thirds of that or more are already in the MPD, so we can't do anything. Nothing we do in our comp plan now is going to affect that. You're just looking at changing that one tiny little triangle from industrial to commercial, community commercial.
Well, I'm actually suggesting that we take the mixed use off of our, that we get rid of the violet, the purple color altogether, and that we, because really what it is probably a lot more helpful is that there's low density residential and there's the community commercial designation on that triangle. That is what is underlying the underlying use for that land, correct?
Well, the ability with the mixed use designation in there, there are some sixplexes, duplexes that have been planned and are set up into that area. There's a couple sections that could be, who knows, high density residential also. So there is some commercial component, three buildings that we're currently working on in there also.
And maybe it would be helpful for our next meeting to continue this particular discussion with just these MPDs, because we could look at the concept, the land use map. The MPDs have their own land use map, and then maybe what we need to do is look at them together, if that makes sense to you.
But I would also encourage the commissioners to think beyond the MPD.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't build out or something does happen beyond what those MPDs is, what would the vision be of the commissioners now and the citizens now than what it was 20 years ago, and if this project builds out or it, ultimately what happens? I mean, that is the ability to the comp plan is you're setting the goal, you're setting the vision of where we want to be in 2025 or
2035,
mm-hmm. not 2020, right? Mm-hmm. So what if that piece of property over there doesn't build out under the MPD and that contract expires? What would you want to go in that thing?
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's a crossover of views of what's entitled, what could happen, and what would you want to see there if none of those other two things happen in 2035?
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
Commissioner Amber, all right. Well, fellow commissioners, would we want to have two divided community commercial spots on each side of town, or do you think it would be better to have the community commercial all kind of in one area, or have them, on a town of our size, and of course I got to think, in the future, a much larger town. Right now, of course, it wouldn't make sense to have two separate community commercial zones. I think that having two separate zones would kind of divide the city so that, people aren't all coming to one stretch of town to kind of get together to do shopping and restaurants and stuff like that. You'd have, it would be, west side versus north side.
I think if I could add just a small point to that conversation is, if we were trying to encourage traffic to, different traffic paths for people to get in and out of Covington and or connect with Highway 18, I think it makes really good sense to have services at this end of town as well as the gateway overlay, because then we're better serving the traffic that's taking a naturally different path. Just as a comment or as an idea, I think having the community commercial service zone here is a much better use than the original plan, because we're not going to be able to funnel everybody down the highway, and that if we can divide parts of that and, to sustain our walkable neighborhoods in the MPD, it's going to be really helpful to have more services here to sustain that walkable city idea. But they're good ideas, good conversation, Commissioner Amber. Thank you. Anybody else would like to chime in on this particular piece?
So, and you see then that next to where I drew that circle the community commercial that's got the lilac with the master plan development, then you have that little triangle that's blue that's actually part of Business Park Light Industrial. That seems to make more sense to change that to be contiguous with the community commercial on either, it's on the Auburn Black Diamond Road, and actually the input that I received that made sense is that it's, it's easy access to the arterial roads. It really fits this community commercial and having the ability, like Commissioner Chairman McCain said, is to have a little pocket of community commercial in that part of town and to open that up outside of the MPD for people that aren't developing the MPDs to have also that opportunity to have some commercial development on that land.
Commissioner Amber, now, do we know where the proposed pipeline road is going to cut across this area?
Not exactly. No, we don't. But it.
I'm imagining it's going to come off of the Lake Sawyer Road.
Yeah.
We have a general idea. The idea would be.
It's not going to.
Where the haul road is through Palmer's current pit.
Off Lake Sawyer Road.
So from Highway 169.
Okay.
Coming towards it, and as you get towards the end, the road will come up more off to the left, which would be south, and we'll build a roundabout right there.
Yeah.
Will it?
So that little piece that is the purple with the hashtag, that little piece, if you look right there at that corner right there, there would roughly be a roundabout somewhere right there. Mm-hmm.
My other concern was the excessive use of roundabouts. The traffic guy, they're not, they need to have strategically placed traffic lights.
No.
Yeah.
I like them the way they are.
No.
If I may, Mr. Stephan, I believe that roundabouts are quicker, actually, than
but the roundabouts, are great at metering traffic on the main highway. But if you are in a driveway or a side street and you are trying to get across a metered highway with a roundabout during rush hour, you're going to be waiting a long time because there is no brake. It's one car metered perfectly that you can't get out. The only brake you're going to get is if there's a stoplight. Otherwise, it's just an endless flow of perfectly spaced cars that you can't cut across. Right, you've got the one side. Right, synchronized traffic lights are nice.
Excuse me just one second. Commissioner LeConte, if you could speak into the microphone, that would be great. I appreciate your comment. Commissioner Amber, I'm not sure if this is the appropriate time to talk about the traffic improvement portion. Barb, is there any input on that? Or is that kind of off topic for tonight, the roundabout and traffic flow?
Yeah, we'll definitely have time to continue that discussion. Definitely.
Okay, well, roundabouts just got popped up and
We'll be talking about all of this, and so for tonight's agenda, you know, of course, it's great to have all this conversation. It's all interrelated for sure. But tonight, I just kind of wanted to sort of get through the land use map and have that land use discussion. But
appreciate it.
It was a great question, though, about where the future road network is going to go. Because that's something that we want to keep in mind to 2035 with these land use designations, obviously.
Well, with changing this to community commercial, that little triangle, because I was envisioning the pipeline road would come through that little triangle.
Not quite, but it'll, yeah. I mean, of course, none of that's been designed yet.
Right.
So, I mean, it's sort of hard to
it's going to come close.
Close to that, I think, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then it's going to connect somewhere up on 169.
So well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it makes sense to make that little blue industrial triangle a community commercial.
Okay.
And then you want to change the lavender to the west to a community commercial.
Right, the underlying, and get used to that mixed use. But I think we should bring back next month the MDR, the MPD planning document map, so that we can actually have that discussion with that map, because I think that'll be a lot easier for us to get our heads wrapped around that.
Do you have a rough idea of the acreage on each of those two little spots?
On the little light blue spot?
Yeah, the triangle.
The little triangle light blue spot is, I do, it's...
And for the benefit of the public, Barbara, you're speaking about the east side of the Lake Sawyer Road, correct?
Correct.
Or are you on the west side of the east side, the Lake Sawyer Road now?
I was referring to the east side.
Okay. I just want to make sure. For the benefit of the public that doesn't have the colored map maybe in front of them.
Yeah.
So the community commercial designated proposed area on the east side of the Lake Sawyer Road near the intersection with the Auburn Black Diamond Road.
Right.
Okay. And Commissioner Amber's question was the gross square footage or acreage.
And that is about, that one is about 30 acres.
Okay. And then the lavender section to the west?
That's about 50-some acres.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you're roughly looking at 80 acres of community commercial.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a question for Ms. Kincaid. Now, that's the gross acreage. It doesn't doesn't bring into consideration the wetland impact and
right.
all that, so that
right.
nobody has to go crazy thinking that we'll have 30 acres of commercial
right.
development there.
Oh,
good,
right.
Good.
No.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you.
Commissioner Olson, so in terms of tonight, are there any motions that we need to make? Is this something that we're just going over for the next month?
We're just going over it, yeah,
okay.
Just to kind of get our feet wet and and just as these things get revised, you know, we'll put this map revision together in the packet. And then when we go, we're having a public open house on April 16th. It's going to be here. It's going to be at starting at 4 o'clock. It's going to be from 4 to 7. And we've advertised it pretty well. We're going to continue to put posters up. Any of you that can make it at any time would be great. It's an open venue. People can just come in anytime during those 3 hours. We will have all the map figures and the map that is currently adopted with some of the things that we talked about tonight proposing to change, and that will be very helpful to get the public's reaction to that and input. And so then all that I'll be bringing back to you next month at your meeting. So we'll start to dig in more in depth. You will have read this, and then, you know, we'll really be on our way.
What was the date on that?
April 16th.
It's Monday.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, and as the chair, I would entertain a motion that we could accept the updated zoning recommendations and changes presented by the consultant tonight. If the commissioners were so inclined to do that, do you think that could be appropriate at this time, Barbara?
I think that would be fine if you're comfortable with it and know that it's a draft still, mm-hmm. and that we'll probably continue looking at it and talking about it and maybe making other changes. Yeah.
So, commissioners, how would you feel about that? It would give us a certain platform to discuss with the public at that meeting on the 16th.
I'll make a motion to approve the comprehensive plan updates discussed tonight.
Good. Could I have a second on that, please? Is there any additional discussion?
I don't remember. Did we? I don't remember going over. Does this get mm-hmm. changed to industrial and not community commercial?
LDR and community commercial.
Okay, but that's part of the.
That's a campus business campus proposed
right.
area.
But that's part of the MPD.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe we should not change the MPDs. How about if we just change the other pieces and leave the MPDs? Because I think we do need to take a better look at those MPD planning documents.
Commissioner Seth?
I just had one comment too about the island, just to make sure that it was corrected to be the business and industrial.
Yes. Yes. Thank you.
I'd like to amend my motion to accept everything in the plan update with the exception of the multi-use zone changes or map changes. Do I have a second?
Appreciate that. Do we have a second?
The mix.
Just to clarify, I believe you meant the MPD.
Not the... True.
Quick clarification. Would you please clarify what you're amending?
I'm amending my original motion to approve the comprehensive plan update. Discuss changes that we made tonight, or discuss tonight?
To the map. Mm-hmm.
And then the motion was changed to accept those recommendations, except for the part that is overlaid with the MPD. Am I correct?
Multi-use, correct.
Correct. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. With that in place, would someone second that motion?
Second.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioner. Is there any additional discussion on this particular part of our meeting tonight? Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. All in favor of the motion, please signify with yes.
Aye.
Yes.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. And we'll look forward to getting the public input on Monday and further discussions for our recommendation to the City Council when appropriate. So thank you, Commissioners.
Please. It's sort of related, but it has to do with the potential annexation areas.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed that, if I'm reading this correctly, some of them, there appear to be at least three here.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are pre-zoned. Is that correct? Am I correct?
They're designated as urban reserve.
Well, I see the one on Lake 12, but it appears, maybe I'm just not reading that correctly, but on
oh, yeah. That little green public square there. Oh, the one that's.
It's an orange.
Yeah, that's already in the city limits.
Oh, this out here.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And what about the west side of West Soda there? And it looks like it's in red.
On the other side of the...
Yeah, that west side of Lake Sawyer, there is that red boundary. That is still a potential annexation area.
Okay, because it appears like it may be a free zone.
It's got low density residential, okay, and public.
And
so that's right.
The reserve just means that we haven't.
We don't. It's not in the city. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And then just one last question. Mm-hmm. So the arc. Can you tell me how many?
Four up to six if you had a transfer of development right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Good question. Mm-hmm. Commissioner Seth, I think that as a wrap-up, we still have a lot of work to do. We're getting there. Good questions. I'm prepared to hear additional interesting input after we all have a chance to go through this and add our other ideas. So thank you for your participation.
You needed a good book. Thank you.
So, staff comments. Update, Mr. Williamson.
I thought we'd put this on here. I think it's important for the staff to let the planning commission members know some of the things that are going on in town. Also, the ability for you to ask us some questions. So it's kind of an exchange of communications and stuff. So I'll go ahead and just start off with some of our comments and just let you know some of the things that are going on in town. We do have a conditional use permit. That is for a very large mini storage or storage area with a commercial component that's along Highway 169, which I mentioned earlier. We'll be going to hearing on that. Also, across from the historic Boots' Tavern in the field there, we have permitted and are working through the final engineering for a commercial building also there that will house Provident Electric in the first phase. And then they'll be building two additional buildings there in additional phases to house other commercial components. We did talk earlier a little bit about code compliance. I think in the past, council members, commissioners, you know, we have these code issues and they do take a long time. The one that seems to be the long outstanding one was a house that was framed, put windows in and everything, but they never put a roof on it and or siding or anything. And a divorce happened amongst some of the three partnerships, one, and the whole thing got messed up. It's been a very long, painful process of me hunting people down and working through this process. But we came to an agreement on Friday, and they came in and paid the $1,300 for the demolition permit. Ownership will change, I believe, Friday or Monday of next week. And then a new owner will take it who pulled the demolition permit. And then we'll move forward with demoing the house. Foundation will stay. They'll come back in and re-permit the same house to build the same house on what they've just torn down. But it's... code compliance is very expensive, and it takes a lot of staff time. So just be thoughtful of that as we work through these issues.
I'm sorry, Mr. Williamson. For the benefit of the commissioners who aren't familiar with the property, can you tell us a little bit about where it's located?
It is in Eagle Creek housing development, mm-hmm, which is next to Rock Creek. So sometimes I'll refer to it as Rock Creek when it's really Eagle Creek. And it is a flag lot that's tucked in, and this house is surrounded, I believe, by five or six other houses. So it's framed. It's fully framed, two-story, everything, and it's just essentially rotting amongst these other people who are trying to have kids and dogs and keep their yards up. And here's this two-story house that is essentially slowly rotting because it... And it's a shame, but we had to work our way through that. And
its access is off of Bruckner's.
Yeah, Bruckner's Way. Bruckner's. So you'd go all the way to the end in a cul-de-sac. Normal people wouldn't see the house because you wouldn't drive by there. But if you live there, everybody sees it, yes, unfortunately. So we
have. I'm going to go see the house.
Yeah, you should, yes. So it is. But we're hopeful we're turning the page and heading into a new chapter. And
just like their marriage, right?
Yeah, I guess so, yes.
Do we know who, Commissioner Stafford, do we know who, what builder
it is? I think it's Kasich Custom Homes out of Maple Valley has purchased it.
Okay.
So they're the ones who pulled the demo permit, and they're the ones who has – we've chased people all the way to Texas on this, right? It's been a process, so but we're there, and we're done. So that's your staff working to try to help take care of things. On the MPDs, it seems everybody – we have issued quite a few permits. They've already sold 5 houses in the project. We have pre-registered sets of plans so they can be turned faster and go through that process. And it is going. There's 6 additional foundations that have been poured there in the last 3 days. And it seems to be the ramp up of homes are going through. We are in the process of working through 3 commercial buildings also, which will be coming online here. Hopefully by the end of summer, they'll start building those, and we'll get through that process. There is a lot of activity. I would remind everybody that the speed limit is strictly enforced up there, and also inside the plat. Those are city streets. So, but a lot of parks, a lot of good amenities that we're working on in there. And as we bring different parts of the project on, those parks will become more and more open to the public. Also, towards the end of summer, we'll be putting in an additional roundabout on Roberts Drive. We don't call that road Auburn Black Diamond. So as you approach into the city, it's now Roberts Drive all the way to the city limits, which everyone knows is Auburn Black Diamond. So we'll be putting an additional roundabout there. And where you see the big pile of dirt that is there, that will be the main entrance. The roads are completely built to the other side of that dirt pile. So they are paved, curbs, sidewalk, everything. So our next step will be removing that big dirt pile and building our roundabout there. Also, we are deep into a multi-year planning to build the roundabout on Highway 169. We are starting that now. We are in deep conversations with the state. It is, I shared it with the council at our council work study, so it's out there. It's going to be 2 roundabouts combined there, not just a single roundabout. So there'll be separations. It's has state approval already. Generalization plans have already been approved, and we are on our path of building those 2 roundabouts and cleaning up that part and hopefully taking care of the worst intersection in the city. So that's just – and we are very busy. There's other projects going on. There's short plats, 3 short plats on Lake Sawyer. There's an additional short plat on Morgan Street. We're building – they're building 17 houses up on Lawson Hill Estates, which are – selling very fast. So there is a lot of activity and a lot of just general people coming in across. We've hired our 2nd permit tech, which are the people who help really process the permit, makes it hopefully as harmless as possible when you come in to see us. And so we're still staffing up the community development side, but things are very busy in our office and everybody's office. So if you have any questions, I'm here to answer those, if anybody has any questions.
Commissioner Amber, when is the required next traffic study supposed to happen?
The next traffic study is going to happen at 800 residential, roughly 800 or 820. I know it's at least 800. I can't remember the number exactly, residential units within the project.
Okay, and that includes the Lawson Hills and
no.
Are the Lawson Hills 17 houses outside the MPD?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then my other question was this, would you say Providence Electric? Or, and it's going to be across from Boots Tavern?
Yep.
It sounds like an office building.
It's a commercial component. It's a mixed use or a mix. They sell retail out of there. They supply their own vehicles out of there. It meets all the land use components. It's
That fits in with community commercial?
Yes, it does.
Okay. Is that isn't what I envisioned that as light industrial or business park?
No, if you have a component that lets you do retail sales out of there, which they have a showroom, people come in and buy light fixtures and switches and electrical components out of that, yes, that means the retail component.
Okay. Okay.
Mr. Sessler, do we know how many jobs that might bring in?
I don't know off the top of my head, but they are already a well-established business in Covington. They're moving out of that location and had purchased this property and want to build and have all their stuff at this new location. One, they are a preferred contractor supplier to the MPDs also. So Connor Homes and the name, Calatlantic, Lennar, whatever, Lennar now. They both use those. They are their suppliers there, so it just makes sense them to be here. So, yeah.
Sure. Well, good. Thanks for the update. Sounds like we'll be needing to hire some more people here in the community development side before too long. Thank you, Mr. Williamson. At this point in the meeting, we will ask for public comments. If anyone from the public would like to address the Planning Commission, you could do so at this time. Please step forward to the microphone and state your name and city for the record.
Gil Bortleson. I just live south of town here on Green Valley Road. And as a person interested in possibly commenting on comp plan, it's been a very helpful discussion. It's nice to associate faces and names. I want to ask, Dave, are you the gentleman I believe I met in the past that lives out by Lake 12?
I live out by Lake 12. I don't remember meeting you, but I could have.
Okay, I just want to try to recall. Okay. I do have some questions. I know at the beginning you talked about this was text only. And if a person like myself were to review the comp plan, when does tables and illustrations and things of that nature that accompany the text come about?
Oh, yes. Thank you for that question. So on the city's webpage, we have a designated spot for the comp plan update. And you would find the draft appendices there now. And then this is be the new document. So that they're there, the map figures, we will be finishing up and putting those up. Just kind of keep checking because we're as we move through this process, we're trying to get everything all up as soon as possible for you to look at.
Okay, so if I catch that right, the text is available just like this text tonight.
This is available.
And the illustrations and maps, tables are coming in, is that correct?
The map figures are coming in each, so how we have this formatted is you've got the policy document and then the supporting appendices to each of the policy chapters has a combination of data, tables, map figures. So those draft appendices are up there on the webpage right now. You will notice when you start looking through them that some of the map figures haven't been loaded. And they will be added.
Okay, so we're talking about the appendices as well. So
right.
What we're getting here is the draft.
Yeah. The way that we did this is we just over the course of several years we just kind of worked chapter by chapter, and in those joint work sessions with the Planning Commission and the Council, and the idea was just to not overwhelm, you know, the group, and that we could talk about each specific topic by chapter and kind of do some education and get some familiarity going. And now, based on that time, this document that you're welcome to take a paper copy tonight.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, but it is now all been compiled. All of those chapters that we took through in independent work sessions is now compiled into this document. We also have, at the same time that we were bringing through each chapter, we had the appendix done. And so that is already on the webpage, the appendix for each one of these chapters. That has almost all of the supporting data, but what you won't find is all the map figures. They're being finished and uploaded. For example, the transportation map figures, those are now done, and I'll be putting those up pretty soon. And the map figures you would expect to see with the environmental chapter, you know, where the wetlands are and where the streams are, those will be uploaded very soon, too.
Okay, now how about the land use map the commissioners saw tonight?
Yeah.
Is that available?
It will be. I'm going to get that'll be one of the first things probably that I sort of make the amendments based on tonight and get that up. But also, if it's all possible for you to come April 16th here for that open house.
Yes.
Oh, good, because we're going to have larger size maps on poster boards, too, and sometimes that's easier, you know, for you to look at than to try and pull up an online digital map to look at it. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. And then one last question. Is there kind of a one-stop shop, so to speak, schedule from, say, now until the end of the process?
Yes, there is. And I didn't bring it with me, but that is also on the webpage.
Yeah, it's on the webpage. There is a...
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Everybody signed on to my schedule that we were going to move forward with this thing. Mm-hmm. Consultants sometimes screaming, yelling at me, but we have to get this done.
Yeah. But it is on the web. It is on the web page that we.
So the public input will end with at the draft. There's one draft. The one is going around now, plus public input, or is there possibly a second draft?
Well, yes, because the we're going to go out with this first time to the public April 16th, but we also have we've got it set up on the web page to take ongoing input and comments. In the end of the process with the Planning Commission, so we'll be kind of taking this input, making the revisions, but then when the Planning Commission feels comfortable that they've got a draft that they're ready to hold a public hearing on, they're going to hold a public hearing on that version, whatever that is, after we kind of go through the public participation and these meetings that we're having, like tonight, then the public hearing draft could produce a final version that would be the recommendation that the Planning Commission sends to Council.
Okay.
So there's a lot of opportunity in there for public input, and at that Planning Commission public hearing, that's where you would come in. And if you didn't feel like you had been heard, or maybe the input that had been provided earlier wasn't addressed, then that's your time to do that formal statement on the record.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm.
And just for your information, the tentative date for that is June 12th.
Oh, thank you. You have your schedule.
Yeah, I have the schedule here. So
and this is with the Planning Commission.
Yeah. Correct. So on May 8th, after the public open house, the Planning Commission will go over the public comments, receive those, consider those, and then June 12th is the tentative date for the public hearing on the comp plan.
Okay. I'll be sharing this with others. I'm kind of a representative in a sense.
Well, good. Appreciate that. Yeah. All right. Is there anybody else wishing to address the Planning Commission at this time? Please approach the podium, state your name and city for the record. And we have 3 minutes. Ms. Morgan.
Erica Morgan, Black Diamond. The first thing I thought maybe might be helpful to clarify came up was the business about the school field. And I'm going to try to remember what I learned, because I interviewed with the school district and I interviewed with Bill Campbell about that school field. The school field is the deed to the school field is in the hands of the school district. There was like a conditional use grandfathered onto that school field when it came to the school district. And that included a requirement for that school field to be continuing as a sports field for actually not just children, grown-ups in the city of Black Diamond, to carry over for the baseball games that the Mines on the in all these various towns played against each other. And so the requirement is that whenever the field isn't used, isn't in use by the school itself, it's open for the public. And the school does actually take care of the maintenance, and the school district has figured out, they've told me, they figured out a way around their insurance issues with having the general public using that field. The part that's the part of the school field that has the skateboard thing on it and the tennis courts and that little playground and where they do the parking outside of the fence, that was granted to the city of Black Diamond by Palmer Coking Coal as a park forever. So I just kind of, I wanted to make that clear, but one of the things that I'm also, one of my dreams for our school fields, for this arrangement for the school fields in the city of Black Diamond as we get more and more school fields and there's more and more need for sports fields for the more and more people that we have, is for this to be the model that we have at the Black Diamond Elementary School, to be the model for how school fields are handled in the future for all the school fields, so that the school district wouldn't be inclined, like they are in many cities, of closing those fields off from public use when school's not in session. And evidently they seem to be able to do it here, and they've been able to do it in a lot of other small cities. So I don't think there's really any reason why that isn't just how it is here in Black Diamond. So that's enough to say, that's the reason why I brought it up, is because there's that little issue. And then the next thing that I wanted to, it's funny, I'm looking around this room here, and there's actually Andy Williams and Gil Bordas on me and Dave Amber, who were on the original comp plan committee. Mm-hmm. And what I hear Mr. Amber talking about, not public, not general public land, but it designated what use that public land should have. I want you to know that we've already had all those arguments in the past. They may not be germane anymore, but we've had all those arguments in the past. And what we saw going on in other cities is that city governments would decide that they were going to use land that was designated as parks or whatever in a certain way for the public, that the public had in their head was going to be a certain thing, and just take it and use it for something else. Build a city hall on it, shops, that's probably the most regressive use that one would have. And one of the reasons why in the comp plan that land is designated for what its use is was because we people who were on the comp plan at that time felt that the public, not the staff, but the public should have a real say in when it changed, when those pieces of property, if they change their use. So when we do have a situation, you know, where we're going to have some ground for a fire station, I don't think that the public probably would really argue with a well-laid plan and, you know, the traffic patterns and where the roads are and where the service needs to go about some of those things. But I just know that the comp plan people at that time, and is it the same thing now? Do the people want to see their vision somewhere else? And yes, it is also true there are certain lands that we won't be able to do anything much different with, that the promises
Ms. Morgan,
have 30, already been made.
30 seconds, if we can wrap this up, please.
Excuse me. So I wanted to sort of say that. And the other thing is this mixed use, as I recall, and somebody can probably correct me, but as I recall, the mixed use business that went into the MPD was specifically a vision that a certain council member had, and I think it was adopted by some other people as well, to have commercial downstairs, apartment upstairs, and it was a certain vision. And for that, and that, I think that was what was in that mixed use, and where it is in the MPD, I think that's there. And so it might just be well to consider that that actually was the point of it. And it had an element in it, as I recall, about parking spaces and when those parking spaces would be being used between residential and commercial, and that you would use the same parking places when the stores were closed.
Thank you, Ms. Morgan. Would anyone else like to address the Planning Commission? Please step to the podium, your name and city for the record, and please feel free to take 3 minutes.
Hi, I'm Renee Bix, and I live here in Black Diamond. Hello. And I'm just learning about all this, that I just have a few concerns, because I just listening to the different types of uses that you could use at the property. They see the community commercial versus light industrial. I guess I'm kind of concerned because I like the rural, you know, community, but it seems like everything kind of overlaps. It's kind of shady in a way on what, like you could say we're going to do this, but we're allowed to do that because we sell things, but yet we're commercial. You know, I don't know, it's kind of shady to me a little bit on what to know is going to come to our town a little bit, because I know a lot of people don't only do what's right. A lot of people do things based on how much money they're going to make, you know? Like, well, we'll have lots of traffic coming through, so let's have businesses that make lots of town, but our money. But I am more concerned about the quality of life in Black Diamond here in our rural
Appreciate your comments. Thank you. Well, Planning Commission, we've had a great meeting. Any other public comment that'd like to be shared at this time? Oh, hearing none, we're going to close this portion of the meeting. Again, commissioners, thank you for your attention. Thank you, Barbara Kincaid, for your preparation. And Andy, thank you for the update. That's always good to put the whole piece of the puzzle together. I look forward to seeing all the commissioners on Monday. If you'd like to get with me after the meeting, perhaps if we have staggered scheduled times that we each could be here to help address the questions of the public, that would be great. So after this meeting's adjourned, we can talk about perhaps scheduling and get that worked out between all of us. So at this point in time, I would entertain a motion to close this meeting.
I move we adjourn.
Okay, second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? This meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much.
Oh. Is there a copy of that?